Good evening, Central. It is a great day for a lot of reasons. Obviously, Ginger today becoming a Christian was wonderful, and we are so excited for her and celebrate with her on that decision and are excited to see her grow, as we all grow as Christians. But there's other good things that have been happening today, and I just wanted to highlight one of them. This afternoon, after services, Allison and I and some of the youth group were able to go and do some door knocking for VBS and for our grief seminar. And so we're spreading the word, and I hope you're spreading it too, sharing with family, friends, neighbors. The links are online to register, and you can share those posts on Facebook and Instagram as well. I think they're on Instagram, but at least Facebook, they're on there as well. And so I hope that you're doing that. We were able to cover a whole apartment complex and also do a little bit of the park. And we didn't get kicked out of anything this time, so that was better than last time. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. But if it does, hey, you know, the persecution, right? Very first century of us. But that was really, really exciting. We did that. We had a good time. And I'm glad, thankful for those that are able to make it out to that. But before we get into the lesson tonight about the central cloud that we're going to be talking about, I have some other good news that I want to share with you as well. Back at the beginning of 2023, we started using World Bible School to teach students all over the world. But most of those students have been from the continent of Africa. That's just where most of their students are right now. When we started using World Bible School, we first used postal lessons. You may remember this, that we mailed overseas in the hopes that those would get to their students, and then they would do the course, and they'd mail them back. And we get to grade them and send them the next ones. And as that sounds, that takes a long time. That's the problem with postal lessons. It takes a long time to send it across the world. But then also, international postal systems are not very reliable right now. They are just really in a sad situation. And so we kept waiting for those lessons to be returned to us, but nothing ever showed up. So in May of 2023, we became one of the first congregations to use World Bible School's new system called Ocean Bridge, which uses two-way scanning. And so it's much faster, much more reliable, much more efficient in sending lessons, getting them back, grading them, sending them back, and just repeating that process. And so if you've ever been to a Mission Monday, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those lessons that we grade, that is through the Ocean Bridge program that World Bible School has and that we've been participating in since May of 2023. And so that's been going really, 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 really well. But some of those original postal lessons that we sent back actually did come back to us. We got a small group of them back in September from the country of Nigeria. And those that came back, we got those in September. We got a few, I want to say a couple months later, and then maybe another bundle a few months later. But each time that they came back, it wasn't very many, maybe 15, 20, 30. There was always a note with them from a man. And this man lived in Nigeria. His name is Anameti Akpan. And he was distributing those lessons to students and collecting them back and sending them back to us. Now, Anameti is not employed by Central. He's not employed at World Bible School. We don't support him or anything. He's just a Christian over there who preaches some and does some seminars. And he took it upon himself to distribute these lessons and get them back to us, which with international postage is actually quite a feat. And so we were really appreciative of that. But it was cool the first time, but it was really awesome when we got it the second and third time. And so he sent those back to us. And that kept going on for a few months. But we really didn't have any idea what was going on with these lessons, just that they were coming and we were sending them back. Well, this past week, I received an email from him and with a report about the fruit that had been happening because of the lessons that y'all had graded, those original postal lessons that we had sent out. And so I want to read his email to y'all, and then I want to show you some pictures that he attached to that email. So I love the way that Africans write emails. You'll see why. Dearly beloved, that's great. We should write that more often. Dearly beloved, I thank God for all of you. I am glad to be partnering with you through the World Bible School lessons, and my prayer to all is that our Heavenly Father sustain and care for you all. Amen. It sounds like an epistle. I mean, just reading this, but he said, on January 2024, I had held 2 days of a personal evangelism seminar and also enrollment of some non-members of the church into the World Bible School program, and I was able to have 2 souls, husband and wife, baptized for Christ. That's great. We didn't have anything to do with that, but that was awesome. Then he says, still in January of 2024, 2 of your students, our postal students, who are doing World Bible School seminars with me, also got baptized for Christ. Wow, that's awesome. Well, then on February of 2024, he conducted another personal evangelism seminar, and a soul was baptized. Okay, cool. Then in March of 2024, 2 more of our students that we've been sending postal lessons to got baptized through studying with World Bible School. And then still in March, another soul was baptized into Christ. And then finally in April of 2024, through personal evangelism too, 1 soul was also baptized. He is worshiping with me. To God be the glory. Amen. Brother, World Bible School seminars, or evangelism seminars, are ongoing in the 13 units of Aqua Ebom. That's like a state, kind of like Kentucky. And I request your prayers. Brother, with due respect, greet everyone for me and the World Bible School teachers too. My family indeed send their greetings. Yours in Christ, Anameti Akpon. So that is really, really encouraging news. And here are some of those pictures. He is the one in the white shirt there. And that's a picture of him next to the sign with the Church of Christ on there. And then here are some of the baptisms that he sent me. And so I just wanted to remind y'all that even if you send a little postal lesson a year ago and you never hear anything about it, God can work through that, and he is working through that. And so this is not even all the pictures he sent me. There's some, I think there may be yet one more, of some of the baptisms. So that is things that you have been a part of, even indirectly. And so thank you for what you do through World Bible School and everything else that we're trying to do. But souls are being saved, and the kingdom is spreading. And I think that is wonderful. And part of his email was that he asked for prayers. And so I want to honor that request, and I want to say a prayer now for the work there and the work here as well. So if you would join me in prayer before we start the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, and our hearts rejoice with the wonderful news coming from Nigeria. And even though we've had such a small part of that, it is a privilege to be able to know that even a little bit of time invested led to souls being changed for eternity. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be a part of that overseas, but also the greater opportunities here in our own community to be a part of that as well. Please be with Brother Anameti and the things that he's doing, sacrificing his own time to study with people, and I pray that many more will learn about you and will become Christians because of some of the work he's doing. Be with the church in Nigeria, that it would grow, that it would flourish, and that it would be unashamed of the gospel. Be with World Bible School's efforts and our efforts in that we would continue to grow in that, and that many more would become Christians and would be saved because of that work. And then finally, please be with us in the things that we're trying to do just right here in Paducah and the surrounding areas, that we would be lights and that we would be able to have good news like this, even like we've experienced this morning, of the good news of another brother and another sister in your family. Thank you for everything. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, for tonight's lesson, we are talking about the central cloud. Some of you may remember this. Some of you may not. Some of you are new to Central since this started, and it's kind of been running in the background. But I hope that you've been encouraged by some of the things that we were able to share today. It's our mission as Christians to go out into all the world. But that commandment also includes the world around here, in our own communities, in our own nation, our own families. And so helping people develop a relationship with Jesus and to become his disciple is the mission of all Christians. It's what we're trying to focus on in all areas, but Paducah is one of those areas that we're trying to do that in. Not just the world, but also here at home. But we're also not just trying to help the community around us to become Christians. We're, as a church family, we're trying to help those in our family to become stronger Christians, to grow and mature, to not just be children in the faith, but to become adults, to become mature Christians in the faith. And part of that is with our young people, with our youth group, and even below that, our children, helping them to learn the faith, to make the decision to become a Christian, and then also to learn how to be faithful in that and to help others make that decision. That takes training. That takes teaching. That takes mentoring. And that is what the Central Cloud is all about. It's about teaching, mentoring, and encouraging our youth group. This month, April, marks the one-year anniversary of the Central Cloud ministry. And if you read the bulletin article in the bulletins in the middle page, some of the things I'm going to say may be a little bit repeated, but I would still ask you to go and read that for more information about it. I'm not going to say everything that's in that article. But last April, our elders in a meeting wanted to be more intentional about having something in place to help our youth group grow and mature and just be encouraged, if nothing else. And so the Central Cloud was kind of born out of that idea. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The name comes from Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to read that as we begin this evening. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." As Christians, we are all surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. But what is that cloud of witnesses? Part of that cloud is the generations of faithful Christians who have lived before us and whose example and teaching and sacrifice paved the way for our own faith so that we could, like the verse says, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely so that we could run with endurance the race that is set before us, all the while looking to Jesus. But another part of that cloud are the generations of faithful Christians present right here in this room, right here in this family, here at Central. We're surrounded by faithful grandparents, faithful parents, faithful children, faithful grandchildren. There may even be some greats on either end of that as well. And that's a blessing, but it's more than just a blessing. It's actually a tool. The writer of Hebrews is making the point that Christians should use the faithfulness of the generations before them to empower themselves and equip themselves with greater faith for the future. That's exactly what we're trying to do with the Central Cloud. The Central Cloud is designed to use the generations of faithful Christians present in Central to mentor and disciple and encourage the younger generations at Central. You are Central's great cloud of witnesses. If you would like to know more about how that works, you can read the bulletin article like I mentioned earlier. But also, you can talk to me, you can call me, text me, and I'd be glad to explain it more. And at the end of this, I'll kind of make an appeal to those maybe who aren't involved, if you would like to get more involved. But for the rest of tonight, I would like to do two things. I want to show you kind of what the current Central Cloud looks like and what is being accomplished. And then second, I want to look at a few biblical insights that should guide the way we mentor and disciple younger generations. And youth group, this may sound like I'm only talking to the adults, but I'm not. Y'all also are in charge of helping other younger people become Christians or at least learn more as well. There are younger kids look up to you too, so it's going to apply to you as well. So, the Central Cloud, how does it look like today, the current one? So the Central Cloud pairs up a youth and an adult, or maybe more than one adult, to create a mentor relationship. Every youth in the Central Youth Group, starting in the seventh grade and going up even through college, is paired with at least one adult mentor. Once an adult is paired with a youth, they stay with them as they grow on up through the college years. And they commit to investing in them, developing a relationship with them, and mentoring them. And so I wanted to mention who our current Central Cloud mentors and mentees are as well. Jordan Kahn is matched with Melody Schulte, Grayson Graziana with Ben and Rachel Riley and Caleb Vaughn, Nate Mabry with Blake Dowell, Katie Pruitt with Linda Reed and Pam Williams, Jillian Kahn with Karen Reed, Carter Hawley with Dave Schulte, Aiden and Wyatt Larison with Jim Fawn, Hudson Lewis with Greg and Sherry Sanderson, Sophia Mabry with Charles and Linda Turok, Leilani Mays with Pam Cagle, Bailey Goode with Karen Reed, Annie Graziano with Bridget Mabry, Jeremy Brush with Ben and Rachel Riley and Caleb Vaughn, Lauren Losher with Linda Sandifer, Royce Kahn with Gary Dick, Turner Fawn with Ron Sandifer, Trey Glisson with John Miller, Mary Carol Fawn with Sharon Miller, Katie Hawley with David and Emily Graziano, Sam Horton with Ron Sandifer, and Alex Larrison with Gary Dick. And so that's the list of those in the youth group who are kind of, you know, on the roll, so to speak. But as people decide to become more involved with the youth group, as people move in up the grades and join the youth group, they all get matched with an adult mentor. And some of us may be thinking, oh, wait, this is a thing? That's okay. This is not meant to make you feel bad. The whole idea behind the Central Cloud is that it runs in the background. It's flexible. You get to mentor at your pace. We don't want to put restraints and pressures on people. And so if you've forgotten about it, don't worry. This is new. This has only been a year old. We're still learning. So this is your friendly reminder that this is a thing. And if you signed up for it, I'd encourage you to reach out. Send a text. Talk to them. Call them. Send them a letter. Say something like that. Don't feel bad if you've forgotten about it. If you'd have never heard about it, and this is the first time you're learning about it, and you're interested in this, let me know. We're always looking for more adults that can partner with us and that can be a part of this cloud of mentors for our youth group, because it's a powerful thing. But this ministry is more than just pairing youth with adults and hoping something happens. It's about building relationships that motivate and encourage deeper and stronger faith. But is that actually happening? I can assure you that it is. Like I said, part of the design is it runs in the background. It's informal. Nobody tells me or is required to tell me what they do or what they don't do. So I don't know everything that goes on. I don't keep track of what every mentor does with every member of the youth group as far as if they have a study or if they take them to lunch. That isn't reported to me. So because of that, I don't know every single thing that happens because of this ministry. But I do know some of them because some people have shared with me, and I appreciate that. I know that cards of encouragement have been written to our youth. I know that youth have been invited out to eat at restaurants and in homes. I know that people and mentors have supported youth's events, extracurricular events. I know that Bible studies have happened, and I know that at least one baptism has happened because of this too, and that would be Sam Horton. Sam was paired with Ron. Many of you know when Sam started visiting. I don't believe Sam's here tonight, but when Sam started visiting, and he just got along with everyone. Well, and I'm sure Sam and Ron don't want me to tell you, but they got paired, and through a series of Bible studies over the next few months, Sam came to the conclusion that he needed to be baptized. And so this works, and there is fruit that is coming from it. And we are so excited about moments like that, but we also look forward to more of those as well. Those are just the things I know about. I'm sure there have been conversations and meals, shared experiences, and other types of mentoring that none of us will ever know about, and that's perfectly okay. But whether the congregation knows about it or no one knows about it really isn't the point. God knows what each mentor is doing, and He is glorified when we use our faith and the relationships around us to strengthen and grow the faith of other people. So to our cloud mentors in the room, what you do matters. Whether I know about it, whether anyone knows about it or not, it matters for the lives and faith of our youth, it matters for the health of Central, and it matters for the future of the kingdom. And to our youth group, I hope that whenever your cloud mentor reaches out to you, and if they haven't yet, hopefully they will after this, but I hope that you appreciate them. I hope that you know that they want to invest in you and make you the best person you can be. You're a Christian and a part of the family of God because of someone else's faith. And we're trying to just increase your faith, increase all of our faith through this process. So don't ever take it for granted. Let Christians invest in you, but also you can invest in them too. Write them a card. Go to some of their things. Maybe invite them out to eat. Pay for their meal. You can do that as well. Take time to invest in the older Christians too. But one thing that we have not discussed yet is how to mentor. Where do you start? What should you say? I don't claim to be an expert on mentorship, but I know a good book that's pretty helpful on mentoring people in the area of faith. You may know it too, the Bible. So we're going to use that. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy. We're going to be in 1 Timothy. We're going to look at some biblical principles for mentorship that help guide both mentors and youth as we seek to grow in our faith. The first thing that I want to look at is that mentorship is about growing in Christ-likeness, not you-likeness. If you're in 1 Timothy, look at the first two verses of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the most famous mentoring relationships in all of Scripture is the relationship between Timothy and his mentor, Paul. The letters of 1 and 2 Timothy really are mentoring letters. But notice how Paul introduces his first letter to Timothy. He provides his name, but then he follows that by naming God twice and Jesus three times. This letter isn't about what Paul wanted Timothy to do or who Paul wanted Timothy to be. Paul makes it clear that this is all about God the Father and Christ Jesus. That's what mentoring should be about, too. We are not trying to shape younger Christians into who we think they should be, but rather who God wants them to be. That's an easy thing to forget, but so important when it comes to being a mentor. It's very easy to fall into the trap of teaching people how to be like you. And y'all are great. Y'all are great people, and I love you. But as a Christian mentor, you have to remember that none of us are Jesus. We are not the standard when it comes to faithfulness. Jesus is the standard. Our only goal as a Christian mentor is to help people be more like Jesus, not like us. Mentorship is about helping others grow in Christ-likeness, not you-likeness. Never forget that. To our youth group, never forget that your goal as you are mentored by older Christians, and even as you mentor younger Christians, is to grow in Christ-likeness too. All these Christians around you are incredible, and you can and should learn from them, but you are not supposed to be them. You're supposed to be like Jesus. Never forget that. But the second thing I want to look at is in 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 3 through 7. Mentorship should also be encouraging and challenging. 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 7. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Paul is often very complimentary of Timothy. He makes sure to honor Timothy for the things he does well, but then he also pushes Timothy. It's really easy to be encouraging, and Paul is an encouraging mentor, but he also challenges Timothy. Paul wasn't only going to say nice things, he was going to say what needed to be said in order to challenge Timothy and help him to become the best Christian leader that he could be. Timothy wasn't Paul's pet, he was his student, and Paul was going to build him up when it was appropriate, but he was also going to constantly push him as well. We all love to be encouraging people. I don't think there's many of us that would say we just relish the opportunity to tear people down. At least I hope not. But that's really the easy part, is encouragement. If we truly want to be mentors, we must also challenge people. Adults, push each other to do the things for God's kingdom that you are uncomfortable doing. Parents, push your kids to do the things for Jesus and his church that they are uncomfortable doing. Mentors, push your young person to grow in their faith even if it means they're going to struggle some. If we are never challenged, we never grow. Paul knew that, and that's why he pushed Timothy. And Timothy became an incredible preacher, an incredible evangelist for the faith because of that. Mentors, if you were ever, or if you never challenge your young person, you are failing them because they will never grow. So encourage, but also challenge. Youth group, a couple things for you. First, when a mentor or a parent challenges you to do something for Jesus, or if I challenge you to do something for Jesus, you know I do that. If they challenge you to do something that you're uncomfortable with or that you don't want to do for him or his church, just try it. Just try it. Don't complain about it or make excuses or think that they're on your back or out to get you. They want what's best for you, and they want you to grow. Trust them and challenge yourself to grow. But second, challenge each other. Challenge each other to grow spiritually. Don't let it slide when somebody in a youth group does something wrong, or when they don't want to be involved in God's family, or when they don't want to be a leader that God has called them to be. Challenge each other to be better and to be more like Jesus. And then third, back in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 14 and 15. Mentorship is also about faith that lasts long after you are gone. Paul says, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. What is the church of the living God? Which is the church of the living God? A pillar and a buttress of the truth. You've heard the phrase, give a man a fish, feed him a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for life. That is what every Christian mentor should be trying to accomplish. One of the reasons that Paul was writing to Timothy and mentoring Timothy was so that if Paul couldn't be there, Timothy would know how to be faithful. It isn't that Paul wanted to leave Timothy on his own, but Paul knew there would eventually come a time when he could not be there to tell Timothy how to act, how to be faithful, what to do in this situation, maybe what not to do. Timothy would have to make those decisions for himself one day. And so Paul was mentoring Timothy to be able to make faithful decisions long after Paul was gone. Being a mentor isn't just about telling people what is right and what is wrong. It's about teaching them to discern what is right and what is wrong on their own. Being a mentor isn't about making faithful choices for someone else. It's about teaching them how to make those faithful choices when you are no longer there. Youth group, there will come a day when none of us in this room are around you to tell you what to do or what not to do. I'm not just talking about death. I mean, yeah, we're all going to die. But you're going to go to college. You're going to move off. You're going to get a job. And we're not all going to be there to tell you what to do. How will you know what decisions are faithful and what decisions are sinful? Hopefully you'll use God's word as your guide for those decisions. But also our hope is that you learn from our example, our successes, our failures, and our teaching how to be wise, how to think critically, how to be faithful, and how to follow in the footsteps of Jesus for the rest of your life. That is what the central cloud is all about. And so tonight, we always offer an invitation. Tonight's invitation is a little bit different. We, of course, are here if you would like to put on Christ in baptism or if you need prayers. But I want to add another part to the invitation tonight. If you are not a part of this mentorship program, the invitation is to become a part of it. Reach out to me, reach out to one of the elders and say, hey, I want to be a part of mentoring a young person in the youth group. And we will make that happen. We want nothing more than for this family to be a family that reaches out and encourages everyone in the family to grow. Evangelism is so important, and we are so focused on that, and I'm really, really happy about that. But we also can't forget those within the body as well, and that's what we're trying to do. And so if you're not a mentor, I would encourage you, think about that. It really doesn't take as much time or sacrifice as you think, but it pays an eternity worth of blessings for someone else and really for us too. So if that is something that you're interested in doing, please reach out to me or to one of our elders and we'll make that happen. But if you still have any other need, if you need prayers, if you need encouragement, if you need to become a Christian, please come as we stand and as we sing.